is back to reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Roundtable from Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of your very favorite Back to Reality. Well, this is Asma once more. I have the honor to be your host in this program. And I have two very dear guests, Brother Liaqat and Sister Zainab. And I'm sure that your company is going to be so enjoyable and we're going to have a lot of insights to be sharing with each other. So just like always, we have this ritual of the guests presenting themselves for the audience who have just joined us. Please give us a very brief introduction about yourself, and let's start with Sister Zainab, ladies first.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm Turfalan Zainab Askari. I actually hail from India, but I have been living in Iran for some 10 years now. I studied science, then linguistics, and then Hausa. So I'm a multidisciplinary student.
Which makes you perfect for this program. And then you, Brother Liaqat.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm Muhammad Liaqat Abbas from India. I've done my bachelor's in Islamic history, and currently I'm about to finish my master's in psychology.
Very good. Thank you very much, both of you, for coming here.
Thank you.
In different cultures, we have different viewpoints regarding prayers, and each culture has got its own perspective of it. Like, there are some cultures who would pray for your longevity. Like, to in my own culture, it's like this, that the elderly would pray for you to live long enough to see your children and the children of your children, and this is considered to be a real blessing. That's why all the elderly would pray for your longevity, for the fact that you live long enough. And sometimes they even say it, we pray that you live for 100 years.
Yeah.
So now, first of all, let's talk about your own cultures and what are the common prayers in your cultures, and then come back to the depth and roots of prayings.
When I was very young as a child, I would hear a lot from my great-grandma. And she would always say, whenever she would see me studying, usually, because whenever she would see me doing hard work, studying on my notes at the late nights, and she would say, "Gast khoda behnane thazi kursi pet," which means, "May Allah let you sit on the big chairs."
Wow, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, so that was one of the du'as my great grandma would always do, and I would never understand what is this, but as I grew up, like, and then
you realized what that really means.
That, yeah.
So, what about you, Brother Liaqat?
So I get a lot to hear about may I become a noble old man. So I get to hear a lot even till this day. So for that, I have to go through a lot of years. But
exactly,
now sister is over here, mashallah, sitting on noble chairs, probably. But for
same
me
as
to
you,
get
you
old,
both have got a support of all these prayers behind your back. A lot of us sometimes forget, why do we pray and why do we have to pray? Because I believe that praying is an integral part of our lives. And we get it that when we pray, it's as if our journey has got a torch within itself. Like everything, there's a light following us, chasing us.
Supplications are weapon of a woman. And I think it's very important to keep praying. Like we used to say as children, like, why is it important to pray? The same thing. And some people used to say that, you know, read the palmistry and say that it's already written on the palms that what will happen, what will not happen. So why is it important to
pray
then?
Like
everything
is pre-planned. Written,
everything is pre-planned. But then it was for palm history, we would get answers like, "Takdir to unki bhi hoti hai jinke haath nahi hote," which means that they also have fortune, those who do not have hands at all. So do not go behind the lines of the palms. So and maybe sometimes it's written. Sometimes in that pre-planned thing, it's written that you will get this thing when you make dua.
Exactly.
And what is more important is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself calls, He invites us, he says that, call upon me and I will answer. So when he invites a moment to pray, like, why not?
And then he says, I'm so close. Tell them that I'm very close to those who call me. And he would answer back. But then sometimes we don't get the answer. Why?
So there are a lot of reasons over here why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't accept our prayer. Number one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to examine us. And this is the place, the world is a place of tests. And we have a hadith from Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam, where the Imam says, our Shias are tested like no other day, and they are like gold. The more they are tested, the more fine they become, and the more they glitter.
Like all role models. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, look at the life and history of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam.
Exactly.
None of them had a really easy life.
Yeah.
All the martyrs as well.
Yeah, and all the martyrs.
The prophets, the martyrs, the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, everyone were tested. Like no other day, I would say, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam states that amongst all the prophets, I was the one who was tested
exactly,
a lot. So, So one of them is the tests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were like in Surah Al-Mulk, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so that we may test you, that who amongst you are going to do good deeds. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيَّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا.
Exactly, yeah.
So over here, there's another thing that when we see a work of ours not getting accomplished, not getting fulfilled, a dua not getting fulfilled, then there are other reasons, like the consequences of our sins, which can be a reason. So where in Surah Al-Fajr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدْرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّ أَهَانًا كَلَّا بَلْ لَا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ. It's because of a person not doing ikram or not respecting the orphan. He is being tested now. So because of not respecting the orphan or not giving the rights of the orphan, the person is tested.
So it's the consequences of my own deeds.
It's the consequence. Dua has two things. One is the punishment itself, and one is the asar. Asar is like when you walk on the sand, example, you have its asar, the impression. So the asar is like a person drinking alcohol without even him knowing that it's alcohol. So there won't be any sin for him, but there will be asar. The consequence is that he gets drowsy.
Like there is the effect.
The effect is there. So likewise, over here, when a person does a sin or something wrong against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he goes against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the consequences are seen in his life. There, so we have a beautiful dua Kumail, and everyone of us should definitely go through this dua where the Imam Amirul Mu'minin Imam Ali alayhi salam states, Allahumma ighfir li adhunuba allati tahbisu ad-du'a. So they ask those sins which are going to hinder my supplication, which are not going to let my supplication
they
get
act
answered.
Like curtains.
Yeah. They are going to act as curtains. So we ourselves are those who are not allowing
the
our
obstacles of why not
accepted.
My du'a is going to be accepted.
Right. So, yeah. The way, like, for example, I have to buy something from a shop. I go with all necessary things, like I go with my cards, I go with my all the payment things that I have to do, and then I order something. I do not order as such. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so, so merciful. When he says in Quran that I will answer, he does answer, but he does not answer the way I want it to get answered.
Yeah, okay. That's also another important factor.
This is an important thing that I as a human being need to understand. For example,
sometimes, by the way, just sorry to interrupt you, sometimes it's actually warding off another bigger problem from your way.
Because sometimes, for example, I'm asking for a temporary thing, but I don't know the wisdom behind it. Maybe in the long run, it's going to be harmful for me.
Exactly.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. He is more like, he's all wise, right?
Yeah.
So he knows, that's why he does not answer it that way, but he answers it another way.
And sometimes it's not the perfect timing. He knows when and where to give it to me.
When and where, we have in Rawayat, like sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to hear someone over and over again and again.
Exactly.
And sometimes when he gives to someone instantly, it's said like he does not like them to even like to hear them. Yeah.
This is IRI.
IB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Welcome back. This is the finalement of Back to Reality, as we're talking about the praying and prayers and why sometimes they're not accepted. Brother Lerat is going to wrap it all up, sum it all up, and give us the outline of whys.
One of the things which I have come to a conclusion, and through a lot of ahadith narrations and the talks and speeches of the scholars, I would say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so beautiful, and his works are so beautiful that a person can never ever think why a person's dua is getting rejected. So, example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who converts the sins into hasanat, like yubaddilu sayyati lil hasanat, example.
Exactly.
Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala converts the dua of the person to that which the person needs it. Example, right now I need a car, okay? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that I need to be, I need forgiveness in
exactly.
my book of deeds right now, because maybe after a year I'm going to die, and the amount of du'as which I'm seeking forgiveness for are not enough. So right now, the car, which is like really not important, because after a year it's going to be like for someone else, yeah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will convert my du'a, which I have asked for him, like for a car. Yeah, he's going to convert it into a dua of forgiveness.
Yes.
So it's as if like, oh Allah, forgive me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept that dua, which I have never asked for. And he will accept that dua in my haqqa.
So correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Based on what you said, there is no dua, no prayer without an answer.
Yeah, exactly,
yes.
Exactly. There's always an answer. I would say to
not
the youths
the
of this era,
want.
To the people of this era who are wasting a lot of their time on the mobile phones, on in the disgusting apps or whatever, and wasting their time and not asking dua, ask a lot of dua. It is extremely helpful. Even it is helpful, even if you don't ask for that which you... That which is, you think it's not necessary, but it is necessary for you,
yeah.
Allah will accept it. Accept the dua for you, for your sake, and for whatever you have asked for, which is not even necessary, Allah will make it necessary mm-hmm. and will accept
so
for you, inshallah.
So as wise people, as the people who have been through too much of researches in their lives, and you have read many books of the scholars, what do you think is going to be the best dua in my life? Like, what do you suggest me to ask God?
The very opening chapter of Quran answers that ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-lazina an'amta alayhim. Like to be on sirat al-mustaqim. And when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I want to be on sirat al-mustaqim, in the very next chapter that starts, he says that then I have sent Quran, which is hudan lil-muttaqin, which is a book of hidayat, which is a book of
that's the inside.
Guidance, yeah, for the muttaqin. So yeah, I need hidayat in my life, and I have all instruction book for that. And I think the very deep du'as that guide you through is the book of Sahif Sajjadiyya.
Yes. And you, brother, what do you suggest us to pray for?
Dua Abu Hamza Somali, one of the most amazing du'as. Like there are turning points in the du'a, and Munajat al-Shabani. These du'as are... really, it would really turn a person's life, I would say. And I would suggest everyone to go through each and every single line and think on the dua and pray and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the manner you would speak to your parents, example. And after you read a dua, example, don't just close the book and just stand up and go away. If you want to close the dua, then I would say close it a minute earlier. And then speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the very dua you have spoken to Allah about.
Now
it,
a close to chat, you mean? You mean first textual reading of the prayers.
With meaning, with understanding.
Through the words of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, with understanding, of course.
Yeah.
And then you close it and now your real discussion starts.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So this was very insightful. I have to thank you, both of you.
I
learned a lot from this discussion, actually. Until another episode of Back to Reality. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يا الله يا رب العالمين Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again. Once again.